something I've been coming to look forward to. You've been nice enough to include me now 4 years in a row. And it's an important forum. The reasons I'll briefly outline here, in some respects, the most important forum, I think, that in terms of the Indiana economy, which is the most important objective we have, that I get to visit with all year. Last year, they had me on Halloween, which, on reflection, maybe that we should meet on Halloween every year. Leading a tech company or a small company or a startup company is a pretty scary affair, I know, on many occasions. And so your timing, in that respect at least, is impeccable. Days like this are always welcome to me because they remind me of when I had a life, and that life was in the world of business. All the differences that come, I'm asked about this all the time, when you make a traverse into government, where things unlike in the world of technology and small business, where life is safe, nobody will run you out of business if you do a lousy job, life is slow, those old lines about people who take an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes. Guy told me, asked me the other day the story. Says a turtle is assaulted by three snails. And the cops get there and say, "Who did this to you?" He says, "I don't know. Everything happened so fast." Clock speed in government. We're working very, very hard to speed up in Indiana, but it's from a low base. I've enjoyed watching the growth, at least over the 4 years that you've shared this experience with me. The growth of this organization, as much as any other single proxy I can think of, it is a good surrogate marker. The business I was in, you might have said, for the health and the prospects of the overall Indiana economy, because in so many ways the sector represented here is a critical one among so many to our hopes and dreams for what Indiana. It's critical because, in and of its own right, it must grow and flower and become a major piston in Indiana's economic engine alongside our traditional drivers. And because technologies that erupt from your industry enable others to gain in productivity and excellence and efficiency, that's ultimately the determinant of economic success. We've had great successes the last 2.5 years in Indiana. The world is beginning to take notice this is the state with the most new manufacturing investments. There's been home run after home run after home run, and I suppose you watch the headlines as they've happened. And distribution and logistics, a great example, of course, of an area which is adding enormous value now to the economy because of information technology. We have led the nation in new investments. Our agribusiness sector and all its dimensions, likewise, all these things combining produce, for now at least, the lowest unemployment in the Midwest, the number one ranking for international inbound investment in 2006. And I see every reason for optimism that we'll keep pushing forward on all these fronts. But it's the tech sector, and in all its forms, and in all its connections to our other economic fabric, that is so very, very critical to whether we reach or surpass our own expectations for our state. And not only do we need your industries, your companies to flourish, but we need the characteristics of speed and nimbleness and productivity that we associate with this sector to spread generally throughout the Indiana economy and the culture of our state. And that's really the message I guess I came to bring today. You know, there are, I say to the point of tedium to audiences around our state, government never created a job. Government does not create wealth. At its worst, it destroys it or drives it to better havens. At its best, government can create the environment the climate in which men and women of initiative and ingenuity, operating under conditions of freedom, create wealth for each other. And that's what we're trying to do in the state of Indiana in this era. And there are things, and we hope you'll continue to identify things, that we have done that I believe are making this a better test bed, a better home, a better climate for businesses like yours. Many of the things we've done, I first learned about from people like Grumbarger and Scott Jones and others. The problem, the barriers that sometimes without anybody thinking about it, Indiana put in the way of high growth, high potential, high tech companies. My favorite example when I first learned of it, and we fixed it, there's no longer a sales tax on R&D equipment in this state. And what a telling metaphor this was. Until very recently, if you bought a drill press or a lathe or a foundry furnace, you were not charged sales tax because those were seen as tools of work. But a computer wasn't, a spectrometer wasn't. R&D tools were seen as something else. That's changed. In January of 2008, the R&D tax credit in Indiana on your first $1 million of annual investment goes to 50%, top tier in America. The venture capital investment tax credit has doubled in usage in the last year. I bumped into three or four people last night, companies, who have taken advantage of it only recently. My new favorite, to me it's a bragging point, I hope it becomes a very material contributor to your growth or someone's, is our new exemption on on income from patents. Everybody know about this? If you file a patent from Indiana and commercialize the good or service in Indiana for a period of time, we will forgive the sales tax. I'm sorry. We will forgive the income tax on that revenue stream in Indiana. We want you to invent. We want you to discover. We want you to take those inventions to the marketplace, and we want to encourage that. And at the moment, this is the only state in America that's taken that step. We like doing things that make Indiana a little bit distinctive. We changed the 21st Century Fund, and I'll wager that I'm looking at somewhere here at people who have used this already or are using it now. I found it curious that my beloved former employer Eli Lilly, a company I still revere, was a major beneficiary of the 21st Century Fund in the past. At Purdue University, I love those institutions and others, but they have their own research budget and they have their own resources. It's the small company, the struggling company, that unknown genius somewhere around Indiana that we wanted to incentivize, and that's where the 21st Century Fund money goes today. We doubled the use of SBIRs in this state off a pathetically low base. We're still way short of competitor states, but growing faster than any of them. Our people are available. We established an office to help small businesses use that found money, frankly, manipulate the process that allows you to get at it. We rewrote the telecom laws of this state. Indiana, again, uniquely, at the moment, has the most progressive environment for telecom investment, and that investment has come not only directly, but the new services that are now easy to secure permission for, but in second-order investments, two major call centers by AT&T, one major call center by IBM, Sally Pay, last week, Connections, a fast-growing firm out of Florida, came to Southern Indiana. These are things we can do, and I hope TechPoint and its members will continue to direct us to others. We want to take down every barrier and smooth every path to the fast arrival in the marketplace of new ideas, knowing that Not everyone, but many of them will turn into great successes with your jobs and wealth that will follow from them. But the interesting thing, the thing that's so central about this organization is that this sort of hard infrastructure of entrepreneurism can only get us so far. The rules, the laws, the tax arrangements, all very important. But as I have visited over the years with you and people who have been there and done it in the world of entrepreneurism, there's that elusive but essential quality of culture, of attitude, of mentality, the animal spirits that Smith wrote about, that has to be part of it too. You know, it's not unique to this setting. When we are addressing the education issues of this state, we can write a few laws, we can spend a lot more money than we have, but we will never have great educational achievements unless the culture supports it, unless children are read to at home, unless someone checks the homework, unless someone celebrates the academic successes in healthcare. On your books, if you're typical in Indiana, you're spending less for most things, but more for healthcare than you would if your business was in another state. We can rewrite those rules too, but until Hoosiers begin to embrace more of a culture of wellness, all the interventions of government will not suffice. And so it is with our dream of building a high-tech state and a state of fast growth, dynamism. There's a sort of a nature-nurture debate here about how much in the past we were held back by the lack of capital or the lack of ideas chasing capital. Well, those tend never to be really dichotomous. Some are both involved, but I think we all know that central to our progress has got to be a strengthening of the sort of entrepreneurial DNA of people in our state. And I see it happening. It really has started. You couldn't miss it. If you've been coming to these events for years, you see it. If you came yesterday, if you watched the Idol competition, including the college-based companies who were there, you see the burgeoning interest in this. When I visit our colleges now, this is what young people want to talk about. They want to tell you sometimes about their own idea for a new company. And that's, I think, was the, in a way, the last topic that Ron covered up here. I would appeal to you, with all the pressures on your time, to be infectious agents for this transition. And to try through, not just through your own example, but I hope through your own advocacy and your own evangelism to infect others, young people, but people of all ages, with that excitement and with that spunk and nerve to go try it, put a head in a direction that they may otherwise leave on the shelf. Call your friends and classmates in other places. Tell them about the 15 to 20% improvement in their cost structure that they can have simply moving to this state. You know, we have been successfully wooing companies, many of whom will be TechPoint members, from the coast or somewhere near. I never blow their cover in public, but I always, when the negotiation's over, I always ask them, in the business case you did, I know there was a cost delta. Our taxes are lower. Our workers' comp is half as much as even neighboring states. You are. And basic cost of living, cost of real estate. How much was it? 20% is a common number. You know, how many business moves can you make that take an immediate 20% to margin? So let them know about it, you know? As my daughters would say, Dad, California is so yesterday. His new biography of Joseph Schumpeter. He was a great theorist of entrepreneurism. He was, I think it's accurate to say, the man, the first person to popularize the term entrepreneur nearly a century ago. And it's full of great insights. Had one line that spoke to me in a context even broader than we're talking about here. It said in there a major theme of one of his great works, Business Cycles, was that the extreme difficulty of changing traditional ways of doing things. We've encountered that a little bit in our state. And the way in which vested interests fight to preserve their own status against the challenge of the new, the challenge of the different. That's what your companies represent in the economic context. And Schumpeter wrote that the process of capitalism, and particularly the process of the newcomer, inventor, enterprise, coming to a marketplace, is no gentle process of adjustment, but rather it is, quote, more like a series of explosions. That's what I love about your business and about all the businesses, the new businesses of all kinds that are starting to flower in our state. Those are all little explosions, some large. They are disruptive. They do cause changes for others, but they always bring benefits to consumers. New tools in our lives that we couldn't have dreamed of before. I had a little fun last night. I left the Entrepreneur Week events, went elsewhere in this same building. There's the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Some of you were probably there. These are all the established businesses in the state. I love them too. But I told them, I said, you know, I've just been downstairs seeing the future. I've just been down where the new firms are, the hopeful firms. Firms just now in the process of formation. These are the firms that are going to set off some of those explosions that Schumpeter wrote about. I said, you better look out. Some of them are out to take your customer, take your business, supplant your product. Thank goodness for it. That's how progress happens. That's how a great state economy will come into being. So I thank you for the chance to be here yet again. I thank you far more for what you represent. The way the industry